Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube pages, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. It is Tuesday, November 9th. We are on to week 10. It is Field, Matthew, and Daniel here today. We are now halfway through the NFL season. Halfway, Matthew. Can you believe it?
Thank God. You know, I mean, like, oh, man.
Yeah.
What's my reaction supposed to be? I forget.
Why is it flying so fast?
It is. Here's what's weird. It really feels like it's going super fast.
Some days.
It's like, and then there are days where you're just like, ugh.
It's only Tuesday.
We got 8 more weeks of this blank.
So, I'm in a weird mood today. I'm not going to lie.
Going, that's okay. I'll take care of it. I feel like you are going down the same path that I was thinking about going down, which is we are completely and like exceedingly fortunate to do what we do. Like, we are not digging ditches. Any other metaphor you want to use to describe work that is much more difficult than watching and talking about football
while wearing makeup.
I forgot mine today, but we are.
You're blessed with beautiful skin. Thanks. Why rub that in? So here's the thing. I've got to be on, make no mistake. Field is absolutely right. Field's 1,000% right. As jobs go, we're insanely blessed that we get to call this work. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we sit here and talk about fake football. But here's the, but what?
Still call it work?
Honestly, listen, some days, yeah. Okay. But what I was going to say, like, whatever, to make a living, like, you know, Field and myself and Daniel, we are all paid by the Walt Disney Company to provide content around fantasy football analysis. We are extremely blessed that we get to call that our career, if you will, our job. It's how we provide for our families. Okay, fine. But one of the, you know, so we have to frame it properly in terms of, you know, like, we're not... any complaints we give are like, you know, like the tiniest violin complaints, right? Let's be clear, right? We're insanely blessed. But as long as we've given that caveat, let me just say this. That's right. I'm wearing makeup because I have terrible skin. That's one of the, like, think about this. Like, imagine, like, you're like, oh, yeah, hey, Barry, you've got a really good job. And I'm like, do I, though? Because let's be clear. Everything I do has a camera in front of it. I have to be on camera with my, you know, with my balding, there's an ing there, but my balding hair and my bad skin, and I have to be up against, you know, for, you know, whatever, the cover boy from Nantucket Monthly over here.
That's true.
I have to, you know, like, whatever it is. Yeah, Nantucket Magazine.
Put a little respect on it. And Magazine. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And Magazine, exactly. I got it for this guy, for the guy who walked out of an Abercrombie & Fitch ad.
Abercrombie, not Abercrombie.
Whatever it is.
Abercrombie.
They don't even let me in the store, so it's not like I need to learn their name. You know what I mean? Like,
and then you go do the fantasy show with me, Matthew Berry.
Yeah, it's right. Just like, even like, I've gone to an Abercrombie?
Abercrombie.
Yeah. Oh, I've gone to an Abercrombie & Fitch, and I'm just like, listen, can I use your bathroom? And they'll be like, no. And I'm like, what if I buy this really expensive shirt? Then can I use your bathroom? And they're like, no, because you might wear it. And that's just bad for the brand.
So bad.
Yeah, go out back.
You know how, like,
do something, whatever it is.
You know how,
go next door to the fast food place.
You know how, like, Darren Rovell will often tweet, like, I don't know, like, some player wears, I don't know, LeBron wears a watch by a certain company. And he'll like, wow, like, LeBron wearing that watch to a press conference was worth, like, X millions in dollars of advertising.
Correct.
What happens if you were an Abercrombie & Fitch?
Yeah, the stock
goes down by 35%.
We literally did a bit about this on the fantasy show yesterday, where I created a fake Bitcoin called Ayucoin.
Ayucoin.
And then everyone found out that Matthew... So anyways, you should go watch the fantasy show, but we literally did a bit around that premise, Field.
That's
it's funny.
Amazing.
That's exactly
we got to
right.
get off where of our...
Daniel became a billionaire.
I did.
And then I got on board with Ayuk, and then it immediately tanked because Matthew was on board. I tanked his Bitcoin, his Ayucoin.
What a bit that was. People are sitting there
We have fun on the show. We make ourselves laugh.
Which is good. The only point I was going to make is just that no matter what you're doing in life, like, just doing it in succession for 18 weeks consecutively or 5 weeks in the preseason as well, there are days where you want to catch your breath a little bit. That was always getting it.
And honestly, to that point, like, and we've talked a little bit about this, and I think this is important. We've talked about this throughout on the show, and other players have talked about their challenges. Lane Johnson, to me, is the most recent, right?
But there's Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley, exactly. I think about Calvin Ridley. I think about Lane Johnson. I think about Dak Prescott. There's big name athletes and specifically some football players, because that's our purview, that have talked about this in terms of, and you know, Daniel took a couple of mental health days. I'm taking a mental health day tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm just owning that.
Okay.
I'm going to, I have an ambitious column this week as well, and being able to start, I start writing Love Hate basically as soon as this podcast is over, and it's 5,000 words and it takes me forever. But, and I have a particularly ambitious column open this week, so I want to make sure I nail that. So that's part of it, but it's also like I need one.
I'm just
owning that.
We'll see you Friday. Daniel will be here tomorrow. We'll have it covered. It will be a wonderful show, even if we cannot replace the TMR energy that you always bring. All right, let's get to the news, and we'll talk about Monday Night Football in just a little bit. What great game. Literally a tale of two halves.
Yes, sir.
Remember yesterday at the end of the show, I asked you, Do you think you're going to come away feeling more or less optimistic about Justin Fields? And we agreed, less optimistic.
Yes.
At halftime, I was like, oh, God.
Oh boy.
By the end of the game, you're like, woohoo, we were wrong.
I was just like,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But yeah, at the end of the game, I was like, you know what, Chicago?
I get it.
You got yourselves a quarterback.
Let's move forward to the news updates. And we start with Chase Edmonds, who we knew he had left the game on Sunday for the Arizona Cardinals. The expectation now via Adam Schefter is he will miss multiple weeks with an ankle sprain. Matthew, we talked about this a bit yesterday in the context of also James Conner and Eno Benjamin. I think until Chase Edmonds returns, though, it's pretty clear this is going to be the James Conner show.
Yes, I would agree with that. My expectation here is that whereas before it was probably, I don't have stats here, but whereas before it was 60-40, I was going to say 60. I was going to say it's probably 60-40 Edmonds to Connor, but Connor had the touchdown equity, so it basically evened out there, and it was a little bit game script dependent when they were passing more. Obviously, Edmonds was in there, so my guess is this will be 80-20, 75-25 in favor of Connor to Benjamin. But two things that I think are important to note here. Eno Benjamin is clearly the next guy up. I think that much we all agree on, right?
Yeah.
And I don't believe the Cardinals are going to want to have James Conner have an insane workload, because this is somebody that has been injured multiple times in his career. I don't believe he's ever played all 16 games in an NFL season.
I think you're right.
And so to that extent, if anything were to happen to Conner, and understand we're going to be without Chase Edmonds for multiple weeks, he's going to go on IR. I mean, at least the next three games and possibly longer. Does Eno Benjamin suddenly become more of an ad this week in waivers field? Because there's some deep PPR value, but there's also some insurance to James Conner, because this is a very fantasy-friendly offense, and Cliff Kingsbury, at least so far this year, and a lot last year as well, has shown when he gets in close, he actually likes to run.
At the urging of you yesterday, I added Eno Benjamin to the column.
There you go.
He's on the waiver wire column. He's the last player on the column. He still makes the column. I think he's a deeper league ad. I think it's tough to justify it in anything smaller than like a 12-team league.
Sure.
14 or 16-team league. I think I'm fine with it, because here's what I'll say. We learned a couple weeks ago from the Eagles that just because we think we have something sized up, we could be so far off, it's like embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
So we think James Conner should be the guy, pretty clearly. And I feel much more confident in predicting that than I did in predicting that Kenneth Gainwell would take on a larger role when Miles Sanders got hurt.
Sure.
But maybe the Cardinals in their mind are saying, hey, part of the reason why James Conner's been so effective is we've been playing him only 35 or 40% of the snaps. So I'm not saying that I'm forecasting like a 60-40 split in favor of Eno Benjamin, but maybe rather than it being 80-20 James Conner, it's more like 60-40 James Conner to Eno Benjamin, and Benjamin may carry value in that circumstance.
They may sit there and say, like, you know what? Hey, we like this split. You know, James Conner has been healthy and effective for us, and so we're just going to give Edmonds role to Benjamin and call it a day. Because, by the way, they're, what are they, 7-2?
8-1.
8-1. They're 8. Oh, that's right. They beat San Francisco. I wish Stefania were here so I could make fun of her again. That's right. They're 8-1. I was doing that. I was going to have that. And then, you know, anyway, it was a whole bit. And then I was like, oh, that's right. Stefania's off today. Anyway, but they're 8-1. Yeah. It's been working for them.
I mean,
there's certainly a chance that Benjamin just basically inherits Edmund's role. And the other thing here is that, and I think this gets lost a lot of times in fantasy analysis, and we're both guilty of it as well, which is like, sometimes even coaches don't know that game flow has something to do with it, right? I mean, you mentioned Philadelphia, and I think about, like, yeah, we thought, okay, Gainwell had been getting, like, whatever, 8-10 touches. We figure his role increases some. And we did say, hey, we think Boston Scott is going to have a more sizable role, and there's a chance he takes over Sanders' role, and then Gainwell just remains in the Gainwell role.
first game against Detroit, Boston Scott is the guy. Mm-hmm. And now we're all like, okay, go pick up Boston Scott. Go start Boston Scott. I had Boston Scott as a others receiving votes in love last week. And then you're like, wait, Jordan Howard? Like the ghost of Jordan Howard is suddenly like, you know, scoring touchdowns. But here's the thing. If you watch that game, real talk, Jordan Howard's the better running back.
He looked great.
Looked
for him.
Better.
And, friend of the show.
And friend of the show, Jordan Howard, true. And I wonder if the coaches, if Nick Sirianni and his staff went into that game thinking like this is going to be an even split or it's going to be Boston Scott. But then Howard just looked like the better guy and they were like, keep feeding 24.
I think sometimes constructs that we imagine actually exist don't really exist in coaches' minds. Like,
right.
You know, we're sitting here like, yeah, I wonder if they're planning on a 60-40 or a 70-30. Like their mindset's probably like, hey, the lead guy is James Conner in this case. Eno's going to be our change of pace guy, but that might be 2-1. 3-1, 1-1, you just don't know. Things, a player gets tired, a player gets hurt, a player, so many things can change. So we're doing
game script, all of a sudden we're, totally. We're down and we're on the 20-yard line and there's 3.5 minutes left in the half, and so we're going to go with Benjamin for this entire drive. And oh, by the way, he catches 4 balls on that drive, and sure. All of a sudden you look at the box score the next morning, you're like, wow, like Benjamin had a really good game. And so, right, it's, you know, exactly right. And they're like, we have these packages for this guy, we have these packages for this guy, and then based on how the line's playing, how the game is going, how the defense is defending you, you may say like, oh, you know what, let's run that again instead of this other thing. Yep. And so I agree with you. And so I do think that, again, if I had James Conner, I think Benjamin becomes a bit of a priority.
I would agree.
More of a priority, I should say. And I do think in deeper leagues he's worth consideration. It would not surprise me if Eno Benjamin gets more run this week and for the next couple of weeks than maybe people are thinking initially.
So James Robinson sounds like he has a chance to play on Sunday. This is what Urban Meyer said yesterday. I expect him to be limited a little bit early in the week, but I'm hearing everything's real positive for Sunday. That is, of course, from Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer surrounding James Robinson. Matthew, if he plays, great news. If he does not play, I still think it's worth grabbing Carlos Hyde tonight.
Sure.
And we just never know on these things, right? We've had examples of a player who we expected back and then he wasn't back. I mean, think about a guy like Michael Thomas, whose timeline has changed probably 30 times since we first heard about that high ankle sprain and the subsequent further ankle sprain later last season, right? I mean, Dalvin Cook was supposed to play until he didn't earlier this year. These things take place.
Yeah.
Carlos Hyde had 21 of the team's 22 carries. That was good. He was basically the only running back that got significant snaps on Sunday. And I would tell you that it's, you know, difficult matchup against the Colts, but they just played the most difficult matchup of their season.
That's right.
At least one of them. And they beat him, right?
It's a better matchup there.
So yeah. I think Carlos Hyde's like a, you know, usable flex if no James Robinson on Sunday.
I would agree with that.
For the Seahawks, some good news. Russell Wilson first took to Twitter and Instagram concurrently, posting a video with a succession theme in the background. Well done by him. Did you watch the video?
Really, really well done. And what was amazing is, and I have this on good authority, that was all Russell. Russell didn't hire a production team. It was just him. You know, just him on his iPhone. Like, and it's just using, you know, some free editing software.
Well,
and totally, you know, it was all him. Absolutely, definitely wasn't his PR agency staff
Doesn't Apple have roots in the Pacific Northwest? You know, he's just trying to, you know, there's been a new release recently. He's just trying to make sure people are aware of the editing skills of the 13 Pro.
And the logo that came in at the end, he designed that himself as well.
Yes, yeah. I think he just scribbled that on like the back of a homework assignment way back in the
day. Russell Wilson is big business for a lot of people. All that said, I thought the video was well done. I think he does. You know, sometimes you like to, you know, you like to goof on the Mr. Unlimited. But I will tell you this, real talk for 1 second here. I've met Russell Wilson twice in my life. Mm-hmm. And in one of the times I met him, it was in a situation where there were a lot of people, you know, that were there. He was guest starring on a sitcom that a set that I was on. He could not have been more gracious, more welcoming, more let's take a picture, let's do an autograph, tell me about your fantasy team. A great guy, top to bottom, legit, great, great human being. I mean, again, I've met him only twice in my life, but both experiences, like, you get a sense of people. Like, I've been around enough people where you get a sense of, like, sort of what's phony and what's not, and he is legitimately the real deal as a human being to the extent that I can, that I've seen. And so, you know what, like, listen, God bless. And the other thing that's really impressive about Russell Wilson, and there's a lot, There's a lot that's impressive.
He heals
about
really fast.
He heals really fast. That's exactly right. Really, he's got some sort of insane genetics.
It's amazing.
He's got some. We need to stick Russell Wilson into a lab and get that DNA and somehow, like, you know, sprinkle into medicine somehow.
Right. You know,
Russell Wilson is like a genetic freak of nature in the best possible way.
Do you think him and Sierra, they're children? Him and Sierra's children, like that must those are, a lot of promise and potential for those young children.
I mean, like, listen, are they the first members of the MCU that aren't, you know, made up superheroes? Are those children actual superheroes?
Wow. Could be.
Maybe.
Could be.
Possibly. Well, not out of the realm of possibility. I'm
suppose
just saying.
We buried Lee a little bit, by the way. That is, he is playing on Sunday.
Yes.
He is playing on Sunday against the Packers. We do not know whether Aaron Rodgers will be available, though we do know that if he clears protocols on Saturday, which is the timeline, the earliest he can, he will start. That according to Matt LaFleur, Matthew. So good news here. And of course, you are starting both of those quarterbacks if you have them on your roster. One more piece of Seahawks news, though, and this was an interesting one for me.
Yes.
So Pete Carroll says, it sounds like Chris Carson will be on the practice field on Wednesday. There's been some weird sort of like hard to size up vibes surrounding this neck injury that's been bothering Chris Carson and landed him on IR. A fear that it might be something that could be a problem long term. Also, some say, no, he'll be back sooner rather than later. He is going to be back in practice, it sounds like.
Yes. And Daniel and Kyle, keep me honest here. But, you know, Stefania talked about this last week on the show. And the phrase she used was degenerative.
Mm-hmm.
In that she didn't feel like that her read on the situation was that if he comes back, there's no risk of, quote, further re-injury. That once he's cleared to play, he's as good as he was before.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a concern for those that might have him in a keeper league and a dynasty league in terms of degenerative. And this might affect his playing career long term more than other running backs.
Right.
And this specific neck injury, if we will. I don't know that there's a takeaway here other than, like, if you have him in a dynasty league, you may want to, like, if he has a good game this week and depending on where you are in the season, just realize he's probably more of a short-term play than a long-term play. But honestly, listen, he's a running back. Running backs in Dynasty tend to have short lifespans anyway. And Chris Carson is one of those guys that one of the reasons we love him, but it's, you know, it's problematic when you're thinking long-term, is he runs to contact.
Yes,
I mean, this is not a guy that
he's
as hard a runner as there is in the NFL. He runs to contact. He's, you know, he's a tough guy to tackle, but certainly at some point all those hits take their toll.
We'll keep an eye on whether he does practice on Wednesday and then whether he's a full participant, whether he's a limited participant, whether we think he's going to play on Sunday or whether this is just opening the window back up. More to come from Seattle over the next few days.
But as you head into waivers, it is worth seeing if Alex Collins is out there.
Also,
by the way, worth seeing if Chris Carson. I have seen some leagues where Chris Carson has been dropped, you know, because of the injury and he might be out for the year and the bye week crunch over the last couple of weeks. So,
available in 20% of leagues, Chris Carson is.
There you go, 20% of leagues, which is, you know, much higher than our threshold, but not nothing. So it's just worth checking to see if Carson's out there. And also same with Alex Collins as well.
Sure. Worth taking a look indeed on waivers that's run tonight. We're going to break down the Chicago-Pittsburgh game, which got wild at the very end. Just a minute. But before we do, do you own or rent your home?
Yeah.
Sure you do. I know. I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This episode is also brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know with the season underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. Sometimes you got to sub someone in order to switch things up. Same thing goes for that drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, pour yourself a crisp, delicious Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum and Ginger. Sub in the captain, Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
Let's recap Monday Night Football.
Okay.
And this is going to blow your mind. In terms of
mind is ready to be blown.
In terms of total points over the last 2 weeks, who's quarterback one?
Over the last 2 weeks.
Total points. So someone like Lamar Jackson had a bye in week 8.
Carson Wentz?
Negative.
I mean, I feel like it's probably one of these two guys.
It's got to be a trick, right?
Yeah. I feel like it's a trick, but like it's got to be somebody weird, right?
Jimmy Garoppolo over the past 2 weeks.
Wow.
All right, so
it was somebody weird, right?
The reason why I mentioned that is that not far behind Jimmy Garoppolo is Justin Fields, who last night had his best game as a pro. And it was a slow start in the first half. Justin Fields did not get much help from his offensive line, as is often the case. He finishes with 291 passing yards, a touchdown, an interception, and 45 rushing yards. Good for 18.1 fantasy points, Matthew.
By the way, pretty good guess by me. I just want to say, whoa, look at that. Fancy graphics. We just got really some cool. fancy graphics for those watching the live stream.
That's really cool. Yeah,
291 passing yards, touchdown, interception, 45 rushing yards for Justin Fields. Carson Wentz QB4 over the last 2 weeks. So I was pretty close.
Yeah, you were close. Yeah, yeah.
I was just, not a bad guess off the top of
my head. Wasn't a bad
guess
at all. But yeah. So my question to you is this. They go into their bye this week. Should Justin Fields be a priority add on waivers tonight? Or is this more of, it's great to see. It's super encouraging if you have him in Dynasty. He's going to be a top 15 or so quarterback coming into next season. But for now...
All the above.
Okay.
All the above. Here's their upcoming schedule. So they're on a bye this week. Okay. But then they get back. Here's the rest of the season schedule. Ravens, they don't scare you defensively. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, the quarterbacks have had to have good been able to have good fantasy games against them. Kirk Cousins most recently. At the Lions. Sorry, Daniel. Cardinals, Jimmy Garoppolo just had a good fantasy day against them. At the Packers, home to the Vikings, at the Seahawks, home to the Giants, at the Vikings. Like, not a defense there that you're like, whoa. Because I got to tell you, I don't know that there's let me put it this way. There's not a defense that I just read, Field Yates,
okay,
where I would feel like that was a worse matchup than going on the road to Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. Maybe.
Cardinals are
really
tough.
Good. Really good.
I'm not saying they're all great matchups.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cardinals are really good. The Ravens are solid, but I also like the fact that he's going to go into this bye week, and he's now got 2 weeks to prepare for the Ravens game. And I always feel like rookies, especially, tend to play better out of the bye week. You know, they can work on some stuff. You're out of the rhythm of the season. They've got time. They got a little bit of time. They're clearly committed to Justin Fields in a way that they weren't in the preseason when Andy Dalton was, of course, QB1. Mm-hmm. The rushing is there.
Question I have.
Hang on for 1 second. I'll just say this. Justin Fields did a couple of things last night where I sat there and like, okay, all right. I see you, Justin Fields.
Totally.
Like, in terms of poison the pocket, like we always knew about the
vertical
rushing.
Throwing.
Yep. Vertical throwing, yep. Like accuracy, throwing on the run. He did a lot of things that made you say, like, okay, that's a quarterback.
Sure.
That's a guy Chicago can build around. Now I get it. Not that I didn't get it before or anything like that, but it's just like, if I'm a Bears fan, look, you guys got hosed by the refs last night. There's no question about it. That was a brutal game. But if I'm a Bears fan overall, I'm feeling really optimistic that I think you guys have a franchise quarterback for the next decade plus.
Yeah, I'm feeling better about it for sure. A couple concerns, and I agree with basically everything you said there. And I don't know about a couple concerns. A couple concerns would be one, it's one game, right? And we have seen a couple of players flash for one game and sort of come back down to earth.
Yeah.
And two, touchdowns are still hard to come by for this offense. I know they got going in the second half last night, but prior to that, do you know how many games they had with 200 passing yards before last night?
None!
Not literally one. They had zero 200 plus passing yard games last night. So I think he can be added for sure. And I think that the smart play is if you have the roster flexibility to do it now, because if he strings together one or two more weeks, which wouldn't happen until week 11 or 12, then you're going to have a hard time getting your hands on Justin Fields.
Sure.
And even then, you're getting to late portion of the season where it's like, all right, I'm week 14. Am I really playing Justin Fields over, and I'm just making this up, Aaron Rodgers or somebody that I've been riding with up to this point in the season? Maybe, maybe not. But I would do it now just because there's the opportunity to, like, if he has one more great week, week 11, and you're like, all right, okay, holy cow, we need to just start playing him right away, do it.
I agree with all that. The thing about the passing yards, I hear you on the touchdowns, but...
And the rushing will help for sure.
Well, exactly. Two things. The rushing helps the floor. And by the way, don't underestimate the addition of David Montgomery, who's a nice pass catcher and obviously can run the ball effectively. And I know they got nice games out of Khalil Herbert, but just I wouldn't underestimate the effect that David Montgomery has on raising that offense up.
It does. And let's talk right about him then. We do that.
Okay.
Because yesterday, at the end of the show yesterday, we also mentioned like we have a complete, we were just guessing here on David Montgomery. But we thought that maybe if one of the running backs were to have a large workload last night, it would be Khalil Herbert and not David Montgomery. Wrong.
Yeah.
David Montgomery came back and he played, I believe, if I saw this correctly, He played the highest percentage of snaps of any running back in the NFL in Week 9. Who would have guessed that? A guy who came off of a legit knee injury, back playing a ton of snaps right away. What it reminded me of, Matthew, was a couple things. First of all, he talked
49 about... 49 snaps. He played 49 snaps. Herbert played 10.
Yeah, he's a good player, first of all. Right? Yeah. Really good player. Second of all, I said this yesterday about how like he's the heartbeat for the Bears, one of the heartbeats for them. They love David Montgomery in Chicago. And it's not just about the fact that he's a good player, but like I think he clearly means a lot to that offense. He's a team captain, which you can poo-poo the value of that at professional sports. I'm telling you, that stuff does mean something to the locker room. So he'll be the guy going forward, Matthew. And as far as fantasy goes, he's right locked back into probably like a top 12 or so consideration every week.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah. In terms of workload, again, you're right. You're workload. On the bye.
Pass catching.
But like, workload, three down back ability, and we expect this offense, honestly, like, again, you're right. It's one game. But given the schedule, my expectation here is that this Bears offense gets better after the bye week. It will get better, and whether it's middle of the pack or better, Montgomery's going to be busy, and his volume will mask whatever inefficiency there may be in terms of the scoring or his usage.
His
production.
I agree. Allen Robinson had his best game of the night, of the season last night, I should say. Just 10.8 fantasy points. I will say this, early in the game, it seemed like they were trying to get Allen Robinson going a little bit more, so that was a good sign, Matthew. But I think if I had to roster one Bears wide receiver for the rest of the season, the answer might be somebody else, and Darnell Mooney...
How could it not be?
Wide receiver 6 last night for the week. His best game of the season. But how about this? Darnell Mooney has at least 5 targets in every game this year.
Yep.
He has at least 10 fantasy points in 6 of 9 games this season. We just told you about Allen Robinson. 10.8 is his best in any game this year. He's a good player. He's got speed down the field. We just talked about how Justin Fields can launch it down the field. I think he's available, by the way.
And by the way, had a rushing touchdown. Like they're now starting to like use him in some of those Tyreek Hill type ways, the way that the Rams sometimes use Robert Woods in terms of using him as a runner, getting him in motion, doing like, you know, some sweeps and stuff like that. I mean, you know, that running play was, by the way, was not like from the 1 yard line. Like it was
15 yards.
Exactly. I mean, it was a really nice rushing touchdown by Darnell Mooney. And so which makes sense, by the way, try to find ways to get the ball in your most explosive playmaker's hands. Mooney is absolutely a playmaker. So I agree with that assessment here. I do think Robinson comes out of the bye hopefully a little bit better.
I know. We've been hoping for half the season, right?
We've been hoping forever. But yes, he's not a priority ad for me if he's been dropped in your league. It's unfortunate. A great player. It was positive to see. But I would agree with you. Mooney over Robinson for me if picking one Bears pass catcher.
Allen Robinson is rostered in 79% of leagues. Understanding that we're hoping better days are ahead coming out of the bye, it seems like he's a guy that's probably okay to drop given the fact that you're probably in win. If you need someone, they're going on a bye and you're in win now mode. But I just want to see if you guys agree with that.
He's absolutely welcome to Dumpsville. If you know, going into the bye, have no issue dropping Allen Robinson.
I am monitoring Cole Kmet going forward. He had 6 catches last night, 87 yards, big target in the middle of the field. He had a season high in catches, targets, yards, and fantasy points last night. If Justin Fields' stock continues to go up, I think Cole Kmet could introduce himself into that category of tight ends that you could pick him up, you can start him, you might get 10 points, you might get 2, but that's how the world works.
The presence of Jimmy Graham obviously is not ideal, but 6 or more targets and 3 straight for Cole Kmet. We know about the talent, he's a young player, and certainly I think he's part of the future where Jimmy Graham may not be. So I'm with you, Field. My expectation here is that Fields and Kmet will be more of a thing going forward in the second half of the year.
Steelers are pretty simple for the most part in terms of fantasy. Najee Harris, big part of their offense every single week. He had 16.8 fantasy points. He scored in 5 straight games. How about this? He has 4 straight games with at least 22 carries and at least 25 total touches. So he is the volume king this year in the NFL. He, alongside guys like Jonathan Taylor, amongst those that are still healthy. Deontay Johnson, his worst game of the year, Matthew, and 11.7 fantasy points. What tells you, like, the floor is pretty high. Not high enough for my World League team.
I was just going to say, in a week in which you needed 18 from Deontay Johnson, you waving the white flag?
Waving the white flag. It's a good run. Tough year this year in War Room.
It's been a very tough year. It's been a weird year. I do not think you guys should wave the white flag. I do not think the Irish Twins should wave the white flag. Can I tell you why?
Can I have some pixie dust? Well, the league is very clustered this year, obviously. AFC right now. There are a lot of teams right there. I'm so frustrated.
Very, very clustered. I was 0-4 in that league. I was 0-4 in that league and in last place, but I liked my team and I kept grinding. I'm now 5-4 in that league and I'm thinking third or fourth place.
You're right up there.
I'm right up there. Yeah, I don't know about that. But
I believe that. Yeah. Anyways.
But my point is that one of the reasons I was able to do that is when I had some bad schedule luck early. It's corrected itself. But I also think, again, like every team in the league is basically 5-4 or 4-5. There's a couple of 6-3s. There's a couple of 3-6s. But everyone is within a game or two. And 8 teams make the playoffs in that 16-team league. So
Frustrating.
The team that won the league last year got in as the 8th seed on a tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. Ended up, you know, and then Cam Akers carried them to a title.
Field,
so
can I ask why you didn't just play Pat Freiermuth, because he scored the number of points that you needed, also led the team in targets, also got in the end zone twice. Why didn't you pick a better player like him?
Our friend Ed Eck always gives that fantasy advice. You should have just played the good players. Why didn't you play the good players?
Right.
Friend Ed Eck is a coworker.
Yeah. Right. Our colleague.
Person we're aware of. Professional colleague.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for Pat Freiermuth, by the way, last night. What a good player he is.
Yes, seriously.
He is. 3 straight games with 6-plus targets, 5 catches, 43 yards, 2 touchdowns, over 12.5 fantasy points in back-to-back-to-back games. He's available in a bunch of leagues, people. Go get him. 21.3 fantasy points last
night. We've been talking about him, I feel like, for weeks upon weeks. Second best athlete to ever come out of his high school.
That's correct. From the Brooks School, North Andover, Massachusetts. Only behind
Chapin Yates.
Correct.
Who was a fantastic field hockey player
and a great coach now too. So happy for her.
No doubt. But Freiermuth, I thought, like, here's the thing. He's just good. I was just going to say, like, does he have great speed? No, he doesn't. But in terms of like how Pittsburgh uses their tight end, in terms of physical, making catches, 50-50 balls, winning those, like he's kind of like, he's a better Heath Miller. And going back to the days of elite Heath Miller. And I mean, Heath Miller, by the way, was a great blocker and teammate. Sure. And like Heath Miller did a lot of things. But I'm saying from a fantasy perspective, Freiermuth feels like a more athletic Heath Miller. I mean, is that fair?
Yeah, and it's incredibly important that he has a nickname that can be said in one syllable.
Yes.
Because I love it. Like, every time he makes a play, you can hear the whole crowd just go, "Moo."
Yeah.
I love that. That's like, I wonder if that went into the Steelers thinking when they were considering drafting him in the second round last year.
I don't know that it did, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. I'm not so sure it didn't. It may have.
It may have. We don't know their draft process. It certainly has worked out. Over 12.5 fantasy points in all three of the games that Freiermuth has played in. And those three games, by the way, coincide with Juju Smith-Schuster being out for the year. And we've talked about that. Like, just in terms of his usage in the middle of the field with no Juju, feels like there's a connection there between Freiermuth and Big Ben. I mean, feels like Eric Ebron's an afterthought. I mean, I know he's been hurt, but feels like even whenever he comes back, like,
hard to bet on a bigger role for him when he does come back. Correct. I would agree with that. Hey, our friend Kevin Pulsifer.
Ooh.
It's time to have a moment. Daniel, go ahead.
Kevin Pulsifer, a friend of ours, works as a researcher on The Fantasy Show. As my future good friends in Taking Back Sunday say, Kevin, you have been cut from the team, cute without the E, cut from the team. That's a crappy band reference. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And Kevin, boy, Matthew, here's the big thing about Kevin this week.
Yeah.
Second week in a row, Patrick Mahomes' manager has been cut from the Survivor
League.
That's
incredible.
And not only the second week in a row, but the third time overall this season. I mean, through 9 weeks of the NFL season, 33% of the time, the team that had Patrick Mahomes on the roster was eliminated.
That's,
I mean, it's unbelievable. By the way, over the last 4 weeks, we did this on The Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. Check it out, a new episode out today. Over the last month, Patrick Mahomes is quarterback 22. Like, he's not a top 20 guy, and we've got a month. We're a month in on this. So Pulsifer is great. He's on Twitter at IamPulsivity.
I am Pulsivity.
It's like impulsivity.
It's like impulsivity.
Impulsivity, right.
And you know what? I'm glad that we're talking about him today.
He's great. We love him.
Well, and importantly, for anybody who's listening to this podcast right now, probably know this already, but college basketball is back. College basketball season starts today, Tuesday, and Pulse is one of the best bracketologists out
there.
He's great. He's an amazing job. He is like Joe Lunardi's, I don't know, how his son. Does Joe have a son? Probably. I don't know. Anyways, he is Joey Brackett's second version. He is great, so go follow him. He's especially useful, all the time, but especially in the months of March. We're getting ready for the NCAA tournament.
And as a reminder, talking about Patrick Mahomes, we're going to have a big conversation around both the Chiefs and the Bills and how disappointing they've been tomorrow. So in case you're wondering what to do with Patrick Mahomes, listen into tomorrow's podcast.
He got brutal games from Austin Eckler, from Kyle Pitts. Mahomes did not show up for him either. You know, Zach Moss, he was without DeAndre Hopkins.
Yikes.
You know, so it was tough for Pulsifer. I was sweating it there because my team, I have like the number one team scoring team in that league, but this week I was absolutely, it was brutal.
You were second to last, right?
I was second to last. I'll tell you real quickly. Like, so I was going into Sunday night. I thought it was between basically me and Pulsifer because I had Dak and Kamara, okay, good, but Boston Scott, Crowder, CeeDee Lamb did nothing. Adam Thielen did nothing. Brandon Cooks did nothing. I was without Swift and Hockenson because of the bye week. So I did not have a particularly great game. I was up 22.3 fantasy points. I was done. Pulsifer had Jeremy McNichols.
Eesh.
And just, you know, ended up not working out for him. So we love you, Kevin. You do a great job on the fantasy show. He also is the researcher for Fantasy Football Now.
Yes, he is.
He does a great job for us here. He's a really, really smart fantasy player. He actually won this league last year, but he's not winning it this year.
No.
Because he is done. He's now eliminated.
Remaining members of the podcast still in the Survivor League are Matthew, which I hate that.
I hate Matthew. This so much.
Matthew, Stefania, and Kyle. So those are the three that we're rooting for to bring it home.
Absolutely.
All right, Phil. Let's talk about some waiver wire stuff.
I've got to decide if I want to bid on Patrick Mahomes. the curse of Mahomes.
Literally. Why would you? It's the curse of the Mahomes. There are two curses right now in the NFL. There are two. The curse of Mahomes and the curse of the Manning cast.
Yes, the Manning cast.
Exactly. That's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
And we need Matthew
to go on the Manning cast.
You have Dak?
I have Dak Prescott in the league, so I don't really need Mahomes.
I wouldn't do it. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Let's get to waiver wire, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. And do you want to play host for a second, Matthew?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Why not? All right, Field Yates, you write the... Do you call the column Free Agent Finds, or is it just the waiver wire?
I don't really know what to call it. I call it the waiver wire.
Yeah.
I call it the column that we write on Sunday night and Monday morning that goes up in the Monday afternoon. It's an interesting column.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like...
It's a challenging column.
Well, it can be. It can be, right? Because a couple of factors are in play. One, you don't want to force the issue, right? Like, I want to add players that if I were in a 10-team league, and it's weird. I reduced the number of leagues that I was playing in this year. There's just a lot of life going on for me this fall, so I wanted to make sure the leagues I played in were the ones that I was super totally invested in. So I'm down to, I think I had one redraft league that I was playing. Everything else is just Dynasty and Keeper leagues. Maybe two. But the point was, like, I was, and a lot of leagues I play in are either Dynasty / Keeper or 16 team, where it's like you have a pulse. You're going to be available on the waiver. You're going to be considered for the waiver.
Like the War Room League that we play in is a really skewed league. Like it's not like it's unlike any other league.
The best player available is like Reed Sinnett, the Eagles' third string quarterback. Like it is such a deep. So, anyways, I try to put myself in the shoes somebody who's playing in 5 redraft leagues. 10 team redraft leagues, and it's like. All right, like, you know, do I need, again, you know, Benjamin, right? Like, he's not sniffing a 10-team league, right? And, like, it's possible that he's valuable in the 16-team league. It's also possible that he's not, right? So I try to make sure it's the names that count. The second part of it, too, is that one thing that happens to me is that, like, I didn't realize until yesterday that Logan Thomas was available in over 50% of leagues.
Right.
So I might consider other tight ends until I found out Logan Thomas is available. So you got to put him on there. There might be other Logan Thomas types, and one of them is actually the first player on the column this week.
Yeah, and we'll get to him. I was just going to say the other challenge, I think, for writing that column is because there's a little bit of repeatability. I mean, like, you've probably put Freiermuth on that. I know you put Freiermuth on
that. Tim Patrick, Darnell Mooney have been in the column for like a month straight.
Right.
Like, I don't know what to tell you anymore, right? Yeah. Like, it's not working. I mean, Freiermuth went up by 25% last week. That was good.
Yeah.
But, like, you need to just... I don't want to write about him anymore. My blurb does not change every week. Good player, plays tight end, add him.
Right. Like, exactly right. Getting a good target share seems to have a connection with Ben.
Right.
He's done this since Juju's been out. Right. I feel that challenge when I write love hate sometimes, especially like when I get to the hate on some players.
Yeah.
Especially quarterback.
Allen Robinson.
Quarterback.
Again, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Quarterback hate becomes so difficult because it's like quarterback 15, you know, legitimately is probably going to score 20 points.
Right.
And so you're just like. Like you're either hating a guy that is going to be productive for you, right? And so instead of 25 points, he gets you 23, but you're like, you're splitting hairs there. So it's either a player that's going to be productive for you, you don't want to put them on the hate list, or it's somebody that no one would ever consider starting.
Right.
So you're like, yeah, you know what? Like, I hate Gardner Minshew. Thanks, Barry. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but that's the problem. You know, it's a real challenge when you're sitting there trying to figure out who to write about. All right. But what happened earlier in the year is that a lot of players were drafted. They stunk for a long time. Then they were dropped. And that's the case with the number one guy on your waiver wire this
week. Number one this week for me is Brandon Ayuk, the 49ers' second-year wide receiver. He was a first-round pick last year. He was on Fields' favorites coming into the season, Matthew. And inexplicably, to begin the year, he was a non-factor. And I will say inexplicably to me, right? But clearly to Kyle Shanahan, it was not inexplicable, right? Kyle Shanahan has all the knowledge of why Brandon Ayuk is either accountable or not accountable, available or not available, and he wasn't playing him. He was in the doghouse, simply put. Recently, he has dug himself out of the doghouse. I know this past week he did fumble the football, but still, he had 6 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. Just watch that San Francisco offense, Matthew. And I know that sounds like a chore
right now.
But still, they're desperate for playmakers, right?
Yep.
They need help in any way. They're 3-5.
Yeah, they are.
He's too good not to be used a lot. Their offense should be running through 3 pass catchers. Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk. And I got to tell you what, if those are your top 3 pass catchers, that's the core of a darn good offense going forward. Brandon Ayuk, I think, has a chance to not reach the heights he reached at the end of last season, but I think he could be a 15-point-per-week player at some, or 12-point-per-week player going forward.
Ran a route on over 90% of dropbacks each of the last 2 weeks. I think people forget, from week 3 on last year, he was a top 15 fantasy wide receiver. And I think just from the eye test, like, guy's really good. He's a good player. He's a good player, and I agree with you. So whatever doghouse he was in or whatever hidden nagging injury was hampering, whatever it was in the beginning of the season, feels like he's now back to being the guy that people drafted. You still have Deebo Samuel, who's the alpha dog in that offense, and he wasn't drafted as such. I mean, Ayuk over Deebo,
right now,
but
right?
Still.
And like, only three players that are consistent. Remember, Elijah Mitchell's really good. Not a factor in the passing game.
Correct.
Yeah. So I think there's legit value there going forward. All right.
This is a wide receiver that you mentioned earlier. I know he's on your war room team.
Yeah. Best player on a war room team these days. It's Tim Patrick, Broncos wide receiver, Matthew. And this is sort of the point counterpoint we were having last week, talking about them late in the week. It's just that Jerry Jeudy, most investment. Cortland Sutton, largest resume amongst the Broncos wide receivers. But Tim Patrick's playing the most snaps of that offense. And just a good football player, man. You and I were part of a long conversation on Sunday in the war room with Chad Minutillo, and Mort was involved and a few others, about players that are like legitimately underrated in the NFL. Because we're sick of hearing everybody say the same person's underrated, when it's like, if everybody calls this guy underrated, he's clearly not underrated. He is really good. He's just not talked about in the same breath. If you're a quarterback as Mahomes, if you're a running back as Derrick Henry, as a wide receiver of Devontae Adams. But just because we don't say that you're as good as Devontae Adams, it does not mean that you're underrated, right?
Correct.
Tim Patrick's underrated. Like, just a good football player. They like him, and I understand that he may be, as far as the future goes, maybe the 4th best wide receiver for Denver. You know, obviously KJ Hamler's ACL tear is concerning.
Well, and obviously Fant's involved in the passing game. I mean, he was out last week, but usually when he's healthy.
But Tim Patrick going to be a free agent this offseason. He'll get paid nicely. Really like the player. He should be added as well.
I'm surprised the next guy you didn't have higher. Listen, we had such a crazy week 9 that people may have forgotten that it started on Thursday night, and Elijah Moore. With
Elijah Moore,
game.
Second round pick for the Jets this year out of Ole Miss. Really good player in college. Had an amazing final season playing for Lane Kiffin in his offense. He's got 3 straight games with at least 6 targets and at least 10 fantasy points, Matthew. Part of the reason why I don't have him higher in this list is that how much do you really trust this Jets offense right now? And the idea that, like, we're trusting him enough to have at least one running back in the mix every week, that's Michael Carter. Maybe 2 in a deeper league in Ty Johnson. Like, we're talking about Jameson Crowder on occasion and also Elijah Moore. Like, there are...
And in fairness, Corey Davis was out the last 2 weeks. He's expected back this week.
Corey Davis on the sort of the periphery. Maybe like a top 40-ish wide receiver, depending on the week as well. Like,
but Davis is going to take targets away.
Yeah, totally.
Regardless of...
I like the player. I think he's more of a deeper league consideration than a 10-team league. That being said, based off all the preseason buzz, and there was a ton of it.
Ton of it.
Like, if he finishes the year as the most electric Jets playmaker by a large margin, would you be surprised? I wouldn't.
No. I would rank Ayuk the number one as well. That would be number one. I would probably put Moore over Patrick just because I feel like there's an upside to Elijah Moore that may not be there with Tim Patrick.
Yeah.
I agree that Tim Patrick is absolutely solid and like, you know, hey, I need 10 points. Great, Tim Patrick. But I just feel like there's an upside to Elijah Moore that isn't there with Patrick.
Fair enough.
Let's move on now. And listen, I give you a ton of credit, Field Yates, because you are at least somewhat planting a flag in that Philadelphia Eagles backfield, which is a challenge.
It is.
As we have seen since Miles Sanders, you're like, is it Gainwell? No, now it's Boston Scott. Nope, now it's Jordan Howard.
Right.
And you're saying Jordan Howard.
I'm saying Jordan Howard.
Okay.
And I think part of this is looking ahead at the schedule. Over the next 4 weeks, they play at Denver, home to New Orleans, at the Giants, and at the Jets. Back-to-back weeks, making that short trip to New York. We don't know when Miles Sanders will definitely return. He's eligible to play as soon as, not this week, week 10, but week 11. So it's possible that by week 11, Jordan Howard is no longer a thing. But I think the value in Jordan Howard is going to be playing in games in which we don't think the Eagles are getting absolutely waxed because he is not the guy that you want to be playing up-tempo with. I think that's either Kenneth Gainwell or Boston Scott. I don't think they're going to go to Denver and lose a blowout game. I know Denver blew out Dallas this past week, but that was the any given Sunday reminder. So Jordan Howard, who's been running effectively, gets the end zone, or gets a lot of the goal line work.
Sure.
Like, and say what you want about Jordan Howard, and it was a failed stay in Miami, no doubt about that, but like, this guy's been a good player in the league for quite some time, who's really good with Chicago. He was good with Philly the last time he was there. Like, they like him. I know it's a different coach and a different regime for the most part, but they like him enough that I would have him on the waiver wire column here, Matthew. I mean, if you had to play one Eagles running back this week, who would it be?
Yeah, probably him, just because it's he's the most he needs to fall into the end zone. He's not involved in the passing game. He needs to fall into the end zone, but they have seemed to be committing to the run. And if you think about this schedule, this upcoming schedule, Denver, New Orleans, Giants, Jets, other than the Saints, you want to run against all three of those teams, and you want to run up the middle, right? You think about the Broncos, the Giants, the Jets. Like, those are all teams that you feel like, right, the Eagles will be competitive in with all three of those teams and be able to run effectively. That's the most important thing against those three teams. So I'm with you on Jordan Howard. It's just, it's like, feels like every week it's a different guy.
No,
and by the way, and that's been without Jordan, Jalen Hurts, just vulturing and running it in himself, which he was doing a lot at the beginning of the year.
He was.
Yeah, can we get back to that, actually? I think that'd be super cool if Jalen Hurts could start getting in the end zone more often.
I have a Dynasty League team, a two-quarterback league, and my two quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts.
Yikes.
I was the talk of the town the first month of the season. Now I've been dismissed from town. Like, oh my God.
That
is
rough.
You got to figure that's what? You got to figure with those two as your quarterbacks, you expect 40 points a week minimum between
at
them, right?
At least.
Yeah. I have one of my dynasty leagues. It's a one quarterback league, and my quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And so I haven't been able to get Matthew Stafford into my lineup because Hurts was just so good for so long.
Now you're
Week I put Stafford in instead of Hurts, and you're,
of course, right?
Of course, right? Of course. The one, you know.
So the last player I mentioned, by the way, on the waiver wire is Carlos Hyde, who we talked about earlier, and we talked about the value. That's not necessarily the highest of upsides, but if James Robinson is out, but this is just as much a reminder, is that while there are still bye weeks, weeks 10 through 14, there are bye weeks, be mindful of your roster and how many of your stars have already had theirs. And if the bevy of your stars have already had their bye weeks, start thinking about insurance policies, right? Carlos Hyde is an example of one. Go around the NFL, like if Alexander Mattison is super valuable behind Dalvin Cook. We saw that earlier this year. D'Ernest Johnson, still valuable behind Nick Chubb, especially with no Kareem Hunt, at least expected for maybe a couple more weeks, right? Like, you should be looking at those backup running backs and stashing them right now in case something happens. We never know, Matthew. Between injuries and other uncertainties, you need to have insurance running backs. Carlos Hyde, an example of that.
Yeah, I'll give you another one that I think is kind of interesting, is Sony Michel.
Totally
feels like,
agree.
Feels like Sony Michel is starting to get a little bit more work last couple of weeks. And
what happens if Henderson wasn't available for them?
1,000%. Like,
let's go to the passing game.
Right. There's not a lot of running backs in the NFL where you say, like, if that guy got hurt, we know specifically one guy would get all the work, and that one guy is that person.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Rams, we know it would be Sony Michel if anything were to happen to Henderson. And so I don't know that Sony Michel at the moment has any standalone value, but Henderson has dealt with injuries in his past career. There's a reason why they traded for Sony Michel. He's a good running back. He's looked good when he's gotten an opportunity. Henderson's been great this year, but Sony Michel to me is somebody that is probably available in a lot of leagues, that, you know, in a way that Madison or Tony Pollard, you know, the guys like that, AJ Dillon are not.
I'd agree on that. So go ahead and take a look if players like that are available. If
I mean, just look at what Darrell Williams done the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Phil Jace, if you're wondering if we're going to move on to emptying the bucket on week 9, we are in fact going to do that.
Okay,
Daniel, I want to talk about Mike Williams. Do you mind?
No, let's go for it.
Because freaking Mike Williams, guys, he's got four games, over 20 fantasy points this year. Mm-hmm. He's also got 5 games, including 4 of the last 5, with just single digits. So, I know we talked about this a little bit earlier. Yeah, I think it was last week.
This is a good time to talk about it again.
It came up again this week, single digits, Field.
So remember last week how we just said, like, hey, you just got to ride the wave with Mike Williams.
Yep.
Like, for better or worse, you're going to play him in your lineup. And some weeks you're going to get 25 points, some weeks you're going to get 5.8 points. With 4 games in his last 5 efforts that have been duds, Matthew, like, we can recalculate that a little bit, in my opinion, right? Like, I'm not saying that, like, I don't know everybody's roster, obviously, we know, but like, I could see the scenario in which you might have like 2 or 3 other receivers that you're like, I need the floor at some point. Like, I need the floor of 10 or 12 points in my matchup, and I might be benching Mike Williams. I think roster construction plays a part into whether Mike Williams is still an absolute must start for you.
I think that's fair. He was on the hate list last week. We expected the shadow from Darius Slay. He certainly saw a decent amount of Slay in that one. What's frustrating, I think, if you were a manager with Williams is that, you know, we talked about the fact over the last 2 weeks, Jimmy Garoppolo is the number one quarterback in fantasy. Carson Wentz is number 4.
Yeah.
Number 2 is Justin Herbert.
I know.
So it's not like the offense has tanked.
Yep.
The offense has been really good. Justin Herbert's been really good. Just hasn't resulted in box score production for Mike Williams.
Didn't Herbert play, wasn't that Patriots game 2 weeks ago, or was that further back?
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Wow. He's still number 2. It's correct. It's correct, because he had 30-plus points this past week. And obviously, Lamar being on a bye factors into it as well. It's just been a really bad 2 weeks for quarterbacks. But
yeah, that is that, too.
That's been
Keenan Allen seems to have stepped up in a way at this point in the season that he didn't earlier on in the year as well. I don't know if that's a full-on shift for this offense with Justin Herbert, finding ways to get him more involved. But it felt like they went away from him a little bit earlier in the year.
Well, they're also, by the way, you know, I don't have these stats in front of me, Kyle, pop in with this, but the tight ends feel like they've been getting more involved as well. You know, we saw Donald Parham get into the end zone. Yep. Obviously, Jared Cook. Is, you know, so it feels like, and by the way, that's one of the areas where Mike Williams you would think would excel, right? Obviously, he's a big red zone target, big end zone target. And so, like, you know me, we always joke about my obsession with Donald Parham, these obscure tight ends, but Parham's one of them that I really like. I have him in our dynasty league as well. And so I think that's also contributing to the lack of production from Williams, is that they've been getting it from, you know, Eckler's going to get his, you know, Keenan's going to get his, but it feels like they've been spreading it around a little bit more and getting touchdowns from the Parhams, from the Jared Cooks. I think Steven Anderson got a touchdown, right?
Like, I think all 3 of them did last week. 4 for 39 for Steven Anderson. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that's part of it as well. I do think better days are ahead, though, when they're at home this week against the Vikings.
Interesting, yeah.
Can I ask that a real quick question on that?
Yeah, what do you got?
Do you think that means, at this point, with where we're at with Mike Williams, do you view him more as like what we just talked about? He's a boomer must guy that you just sort of live with in your lineup? Or do you think that he's a potential buy low candidate because of what we've seen earlier in the year, after 4 out of the last 5 were real bad? You could probably get him cheaper than you could have. But do you trust it? That's the question.
Can, but, you know, I sort of lean, like, maybe I'm wrong here. I lean towards the idea that this is a player who's in his 5th NFL season.
Sure.
It's been 4 years of up and down play in terms of fantasy production. So I tend to think that, like, if you're playing Mike Williams every single week, your mindset needs to be, I might get 28, I might get 2.8.
I think he's a great guy for my flex right now, because I love the upside of what he is, but hopefully, especially if he has a 4 o'clock game being on the West Coast, I have the option to be able to bounce him out based on what I have to do.
I mean, this is what he's been throughout his career. It's just a slightly better version of it, which is, like, throughout his career, he's always been a guy that, when healthy, has been, you know, 5 fantasy points or 35 fantasy points,
crazy,
right? I mean, like, you know, he's big games waiting to happen. He's been a little bit more consistent this year. Obviously, he had that great stretch to start the season. But he's been, you know, he's been a little bit more boomer bust. So just kind of a better version of that boomer bust player that we saw through the first 4 years. The fifth year thing doesn't bother me as much as it maybe does with you, just because new coach, new offensive coordinator, maybe they've sort of unlocked him. You think about Devontae Parker. I mean, I know those cases are few and far between.
They are.
But whether it's Corey Davis or Devontae Parker, we have seen scenario. We have seen. We have seen examples of players that come into the NFL with a high draft pedigree, with a tremendous college resume, like Devontae Parker, like Corey Davis, like Mike Williams. Mike Williams was great at Clemson. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he was a great college player, right? And was right was a top 10 overall pick. And then it takes them a while, but eventually, whatever, year five, they figure it out. And so it looked like that was happening for Mike Williams. He's fallen off a little bit. I want to see how he does against the Vikings on Sunday. It's a home game for them as well. Vikings are 23rd against the pass over the last 4 weeks. It's a defense that has been inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. Fortune favors the bold, Matthew. That's all I'm going to say. Week 15, Kansas City. Week 16, Houston. Week 17, Denver. So you don't love week 17 against Denver, but those other two playoff matchups, I mean,
you like those.
Good offense.
Yeah. You like those.
I want to ask about DJ Moore, Field. Let's do this one last, and then you can close it out.
He's got a problem. It has nothing to do with DJ Moore. Yeah. I'm not sure that right now, top 32 quarterbacks amongst the starters, Matthew, how many quarterbacks do you trust less than Sam Darnold right now?
How many quarterbacks? I don't know, maybe two. I could probably come up with two.
I was going to say one or two.
So I think right
Heineke
now, like,
might be one of them,
he might be in the mix, right? But like, you think about quarterbacks, like, you might legitimately trust less, right? Like,
Jacoby Brissett.
I was going to say, whoever started, maybe Jacoby Brissett, maybe Tyrod Taylor / Davis Mills probably won't start anymore. But like, it's a small list right now, man. Sam Darnold looks like a fractured quarterback. Mm. And I know he's dealing with a shoulder issue. My guess, 11:55 on Tuesday guess, is that he'll be benched this week. They'll call it a shoulder injury, but he'll be benched for PJ Walker, right? And again, we talked about this on Sunday as well. Like, this is just a failed experiment for them. Their offensive line stinks as well.
Brutal.
And I know good times were rolling earlier this season. DJ Moore is awesome. He's amazing as a player. He's really good. And I understand that other players have thrived with poor quarterback play. It's not completely out of the realm of possibilities. We watched that game together on Sunday, as we do every game, and it was just like, what? Like, I know, and the Patriots are good defense, and Bill Belichick has long had his number, and like, they're just rock solid, but still, like, they got nothing going in the passing game. Nothing whatsoever.
No, and you don't really have any confidence that they will, right? Again, that offensive line is just getting decimated. Darnold's, they're not scoring touchdowns. Darnold's under pressure. By the way, getting nothing out of Robbie Anderson as well.
Nothing.
We talked about this Fantasy Football Now last Sunday. The crazy stat about that, as Matt Rhule has been a head coach of the Carolina Panthers, he's had Chris McCaffrey start and finish a game three times.
Yeah. Sunday was the fourth.
Four times in a year and a half or whatever it's been, which is crazy, right? Yeah. And so, look, he's such an integral part of that offense. It's hard to sort of blame all, you know, like, not having him there every game. Like, that's obviously going to affect an offense. Having said that, whether it's lack of offensive line, whether it's lack of consistent weapons outside of DJ Moore, whether it's coaching, whether it's just, you know, all the jokes about ghosts, seeing ghosts out there, like, whatever it is, it doesn't feel like there's an easy, quick path or a solution for Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers offense. As an actionable item, though, for fantasy managers that have DJ Moore, I think he's too good and has too much upside for you to bench him. I think you just have to keep rolling him out there.
Can't bench him. Yeah, I agree.
And I'm not trying to sell him.
Like, what would you take for him?
Right, exactly.
You know, like, would you take Manuel Sanders for DJ Moore?
No.
You know, but that's probably where they've been in terms of recent scoring over the past month. It's a tough time right now for DJ Moore. Maybe if PJ Walker does start, maybe that injects some life into this offense. And I understand, like, it's PJ Walker is not, it's not the second coming of whatever, Joe Montana. He's an XFL superstar, but still, like, right now what they're doing on offense is not working, Daniel.
Couple quick questions. Okay. DJ Moore or Amari Cooper?
Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
DJ Moore or Brandon Cooks?
Still DJ Moore for me at that point.
Yeah, I'll probably go Moore, but that's kind of a fair comparison.
Yeah, that's the range.
Yeah, that's tough.
Is that from our YouTube chat?
No. I'm just looking in our scoring leaders.
I just was curious what our YouTube chat's saying today.
Yeah. They're saying a lot of great stuff. They're being pretty active. Nice. I checked in the Twitter chat earlier as well. They are also quite active.
They feel like...
Do you think they hate each other? The two communities, the YouTube chat and the Twitter chat. Yeah. Should we make two fantasy leagues, a Twitter league and a Facebook league, and have them and a YouTube
league? Two sides of town, right?
Yeah,
it's like Greece, part three.
Yeah,
yeah.
East side, west side. I like that.
I love it.
I dig that. I'm into that.
Okay, we could
cut to the people who watch on Facebook going like,
they're like, what the heck?
Why can't we play? We want to fight somebody. Why? We'll argue with somebody. Let us know. We're in.
Love it. All right. So anyway, for today. Tomorrow we are back.
Nice job not wearing pajamas today, Fields.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Those are super comfortable, though.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. We're coming back on Wednesday. We will talk about rankings. We'll have some Chiefs and Bills deep dives. Any news that we come up with, by the way. We'll have some injury updates and stuff.
By the way, new episode of The Fantasy Show on ESPN+. One of the ways to get a subscription to ESPN+ is subscribe to rotopass.com. You subscribe today and you get it for the next year. 12 months,
awesome.
Including a 12-month subscription to ESPN+, 5 other great fantasy sites that give you DFS tools, in-season tools, trade management. So if you're playing DFS, the lineup optimizers, it's a great bargain. Promo code 06010 gets you 10% off. Rotopass.com. Get yourself a subscription to ESPN Plus and so much more.
By the way, we'll have an Odell Beckham Jr. update tomorrow.
Yes,
if he either gets claimed by somebody or signs with somebody new. For Matthew and Daniel, I am Field. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Peace out.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field.